Good evening, everyone. I'd like to welcome you to tonight's February 12th, Lincoln's Birthday, regular Othello City Council meeting. If you'd all please rise for a short private invocation. Asking for God's blessing upon tonight's meeting and giving the council wisdom in the decisions we make. And now if you'd join me in the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Please be seated. Item 1.4 on our agenda is the roll call. Gina called me earlier this afternoon, said that when Chris had a meeting they had to attend, so she won't be joining us tonight. I'd entertain a motion to excuse Gina.
Make that motion.
Second.
Motion's made and seconded to excuse Gina. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. We'll move to item 1.4, roll call. Is there any citizen here present tonight that would like to address the city council? Please raise your hand and I'll address you. Yes, Lynette, please.
Good evening, guys. Lynette Carruthers, 830 South Skylark Way. Thought you were overdue for an update from beautification regarding the Main Street project. Before I update you, I want to express on behalf of beautification our appreciation and thanks to you, Council, for your continued support of our program. As we speak, we have 9 lights in storage ready to go on Main Street. That will put 6 new lights in front of Time Out and that block. And Rotary has purchased 3 lights to go in front of Pioneer Park. So that will put a total of 9 new lights on Main Street. We thought we would be winding down our part of this Main Street project with the completion of this next block. And as our last project, we wanted to put 3 more lights in front of the East Irrigation District. Well, that has changed somewhat. We have been blessed by an inflow of cash from a former resident here in Othello, Dean Kistler. Dean came to Banners and Blooms last year and he enjoyed the evening. He was a very generous participant in the auction. And he liked what we were doing on Main Street. Well, just this past month, we received a $10,000 personal check from Dean with the commitment that his company, Johnson & Johnson, would be sending additional $20,000. So, boom, out of the blue, guys, $30,000. This will allow us to put 4 more lights on the next block. And that would be the food bank block. And our lights are $7,200 a piece. They're expensive lights. But what this does, instead of stopping with 3 lights in front of East Irrigation, the new revised plan is to take the project to 7th Avenue. So that will be 2.5 more blocks coming up. This won't happen overnight. We're planning on at least the next 2 years to make this possible. But that's the plan. And I'm happy to share that with you. I'm just very, very encouraged and am excited to get our next 2 blocks in place. And last thing, Our Banners and Blooms event is coming up Friday, May 4th, and it's a wonderful, wonderful evening out for you and wife. So please put that on your calendar. Would love to have you join us for the evening. Are there any questions or comments?
I loved the Christmas lights going down Main Street. It was so cool to see all those lights up and seeing that all the way up the street like it did. I just can't tell you. I was like, wow, it would just be so nice to continue that and go eventually all the way to Broadway.
Well, that's the plan, Sean.
Mm-hmm. I agree with Sean. Even my kids noticed it. My 17-year-old son and 19-year-old daughter, we were heading out of town, and they were like, look, the lights are up. And Thank you so much.
Last block, I think, made all the difference. And just think about at least 2.5 more blocks added to that. Thank you.
Thank you, Lynette. Is there anyone else who would like to address the council tonight? Okay, hearing none, we'll move to item 2, which is the approval of our agenda. I'd entertain a motion to approve tonight's agenda.
Make that motion.
Second.
I do want to note for the record that some of the people can't see the item 4.9, Sand Hill Estates Final Plat. That is on our agenda tonight, right? Yep. Okay. So we have a motion made and seconded. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Item 3 is our consent agenda. I entertain a motion to. Thank you.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Let's move to our current business. 4.1 is a dispatch agreement with Adams County Fire District. And I believe Chief Shank is going to lead us off. And we notice that we have Jay Weiss and Chief Liebach in here with us. So go ahead, Chief.
Mayor and Council, thank you. This is probably one of the simpler items that's going to be in front of you today. This is a renewal of the agreement that we have with Fire District 5 for dispatch services. We've raised it 2%, and we've continued it on into the future. I think we did 2 years, but we may have talked 5 years, if I'm 5 years. But 2% on each of those, if for some reason our costs go up substantially, then I would come, you know, we would probably want to terminate and renegotiate it. But the last couple of years have been about 2%. So that is what our costs are. So it's a fair contract, and I've got it in front of you to authorize the mayor to sign it.
Questions, council? Seems fair. I maintain a motion to approve this contract with Adams County Fire.
I'll make that motion.
Further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. We'll move to item 4.2, Adams County Fire District Number 5 Fire Protection Services Contract. Wade?
Mayor, Council, as Mayor noted, Fire Chief is here, as well as Jay Weiss, who have been working hard on this contract. Council discussed this contract a couple months ago, I believe, and has some questions. We answered a couple of them. Kelly has looked at this contract and the legalities of it. It beats the legal test as far as that goes. A couple of questions were not fully answered, and they can still be addressed to the Fire Chief tonight as far as the employment piece and a couple other things, but Jay and I worked on this together and got as much ironed out as we could. And so at this point, what I would do is turn it over to you guys and to ask questions of myself or Jay or Fire Chief.
Council?
So I have a question for Mr. Weiss, or actually Chief Labakan. In here in the contract, it says that you guys are going to only hire one more position. That you're going to be hiring for one position.
Can you give me an item number?
It's Appendix A, Appendix A, paragraph five, number E, letter E.
Item E?
Yep.
That says a fire investigator. That's just a certificate.
Okay, it also says continuing education and one new position.
We will add one more investigator, a qualified investigator.
So you're not going to be hiring any more firefighters?
I believe we've covered that for several months now. We're hiring two.
But the position you're hiring here for is just an investigator?
Number five states that the training that the district will provide is we're going to do officer training up to 16 hours a year per officer, live learning training for 68 hours per year, and increased volunteer training as determined by the training officer. A fire inspector will be continuing in education, which will be about 16 hours a year, and we hope to have one of the staff that we currently have trained as a fire investigator or interim continuing education with the current staff.
Okay. So that's not a current position right now being held by anybody in the fire district?
The chief and the assistant chief are trained as fire investigators.
Okay. So what you're saying in that...
Can we get them a mic so we can get...
I hear what you're saying, Jay. You're going to take one person from your group and train them in this position to do it as well.
One additional investigator, yes.
So this is a definition of the training requirements and what you're going to fulfill.
This is a definition of the services per Appendix A that we are providing for the city.
Okay.
And there was nothing in here about those new positions you said you're going to hire, new firefighters you're going to hire for.
There's nothing in the contract that states that we hire anybody. We provide service to the city, and our determination is how we provide that service. It's left to the discretion of the fire district.
Right, but the reason for the increase that the city gave was you guys, the understanding was you guys were looking for adding two new positions.
Our plan is to hire two new positions in 2018. One would be a firefighter and one would be a training coordinator because we want to emphasize better training for the current volunteers and the staff that is currently employed by the district. The firefighter is added because of daytime logistics of getting enough firefighters to respond to daytime fires, because the majority of our volunteer firefighters at this point in time having to hold jobs that they cannot always step away for when we have an alarm. So part of the fix is to try and get somebody that is on staff and able to respond during the week. And we haven't entirely worked out a schedule yet, but we are looking at scheduling those positions throughout the weekend. So, but that's a logistical issue that we're not real sure of what works best for responding to the fire.
Well, I think that that's a good plan, and also having the additional training. Fires are tricky business.
These are items that survey and rating have indicated would benefit in our rating,
DC
rating.
Yep,
I think it's a good idea. Okay. Is there any other aspects of the contract council wants to ask while they're here?
So when are you going to at least start looking for firefighters?
As soon as we have a signed contract.
So if we agree to this tonight and Mayor Logan signs it tonight, you'll be looking tomorrow?
No, we have a little more work to do than that, but we'll be going out for
because last year when we had this meeting last November, you said you were going to continue through and hire a firefighter anyways. And have you looked or done anything towards that?
No.
So all I'm trying to get at is within five years. In 2022, at the current rate that we're suspected to grow, we're going to be paying $369,000 a year. That's $120,000 a year more than what we're paying you now. So I'd just kind of like to know something of what we're getting for that, other than, well, yeah, we're going to hire somebody. You understand what I'm saying?
You're getting continued fire service provided by the district to the city. And in order for us to provide the service that we believe that you get, we need to add these positions.
And that's what I'm getting at. If I just want to know some kind of time frame when you're going to be adding those positions.
As soon as possible. We'd have had them a year ago if we were able to work out the details of the contract.
And see, that's what I'm saying. You said you were going to follow through and hire a guy.
We can't do anything until we have a contract.
But you said last year you were going to follow through and hire a guy anyways.
I guess I don't remember that statement, but...
Budget, the way we budget and the way the money flows, certain things come up. We may have wanted to. It didn't work out like that.
Jay, is the volunteers down? I mean, as far as people yes. volunteer like they...
The volunteers are down in everything.
We're a smidge over 20.
Right. We're probably 22 to 23 right now.
I am. And normally, or years ago, they were...
Years ago?
Double?
With less requirements. No, we weren't double, but we had more volunteers.
You were probably closer to the 30 number. More consistent at that area.
With lower population. Well, and houses.
It's just a sign of the time that all longer groups don't have the membership that they used to have.
Right.
Lion, Rotary, go down.
Right.
People just don't volunteer like they used to.
Well, and there's a changing of the guard. You know, I mean, the older guys are, you know, they're done. They can't do it anymore.
And the requirements of trying to keep your firefighters safe and train them to the level that is expected between L and I.
Yep.
And then having people give up their time to do that that's a big load for some folks. The EMS has the same problem for volunteers to be ambulance people, is that the training requirements are almost onerous to the point where it's tough to get people to do that.
Kelly, you've looked over the contract?
I have. Mm-hmm. Yep. It meets all. I mean, it's from a legal standpoint and contract law, it's fine.
Okay.
You probably have somebody in the ranks already that you'd like to see with a position.
We have job description, what we would like to see put in the paper or put out on the job listing. We have that pretty much designed. We keep checking and making sure that we're where we want to be on that so we can pull the triggers as quickly as possible. Our ultimate goal would be to have them prior to the summer, because we are hopefully hiring people that are firefighters, and so going into the summer with wildland plan season and the chances of having a fire in the district and a fire in the city, our staffing increases. I can't guarantee that a hire will happen as soon as possible. A firefighter should be fairly, I don't want to say this in the wrong way, but a firefighter should be fairly easy to get hired on, just due to the fact that the requirements are not as high as we've put them on to be a training coordinator. Because a training coordinator, we would like somebody that comes in and at least has done a portion of that prior to being hired by us, so that we're not training them to be that position. They at least have some
certifications
and have done at least a portion of that for another agency of some kind. We don't want to start from scratch. We'd rather kind of start in the middle a little bit and then build it to fit our community.
Okay. Is there any other questions, Council?
So I just have one more question.
Yeah, of course.
The report that you gave us here a couple weeks ago, you said that you weren't going to be doing hydro testing because Public Works wasn't going to be helping you. The contract here...
We weren't able to last year.
I'm sorry?
We weren't able to last summer.
So as it's in the contract here, that statement should pretty much go away.
In our new proposal?
Yes.
Appendix A at the bottom?
Yeah, number seven.
Hydrant Jesse?
Right.
We will take that up on.
Okay.
We will take the hydrant testing only. No maintenance.
Right, yeah.
We'll do the testing itself and the input. Any notification or maintenance, out of service, in service, things like that will be left to the utility.
Right.
As it should.
Okay. Council?
Let's do it.
Thank you. I'd entertain a motion to approve this contract.
I'll make that motion. Second.
Further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Thank you, gentlemen. 4.3 is contract for Meg Van Schorl from Gordon Thomas Honeywell for project development services. Meg was here at the council workshop last week, described what she could do. I thought she did a very good job. She was very well connected and is going to help us accomplish some things that we don't currently have the staff or funding for. And there was a number of discussion back and forth, and now we have her contract before the council to deliberate and approve or disapprove tonight. So is there any, entertain a motion to approve this contract?
Can we just, I just want one clarification. In the notes from the meeting of the workshop, Rebecca did write down the fact that she made the statement, Meg did, that she would be willing to take on other things that might arise if these do not materialize under the same amount for the same amount of the contract.
Mm-hmm.
And we're pretty sure that still stands.
She said that.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
She promised us that.
Because I'm just worried that if she had five items on her deal that she was going after for us, and if one of those should just fall off and not be obtainable, that we have something else that we can go to, because the contract's based on an amount of
certain
items
of work, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think I made that clear, and it's on the record, you know, this record here, that she would be willing to adjust as needed as we go down the road with a five-year contract. I mean, we all know, you know, I've been in council 4 years now, our priorities have changed as years go by a little bit. And different things to focus on. So that's what I thought. I think we made clear that, hey, better adjust as necessary. So
yeah, but I like the five that she's going after now. It's just you know, that if one of those
didn't
five
work out, she'd take another
another avenue of
that's
approach.
What she said. Yeah.
Yep. Okay.
So I have one thing. Our budget is right down. We're at the bare minimum right now. So the only thing I think we need to figure out is how we're going to pay for it. I was talking to Spencer a little bit earlier today. Pretty much everything she's on in this contract is all for parks. And we have a parks fund that to pay for her. We can't pay for it out of the general budget. We're at the bare minimum. And I think that should be determined before we sign any contracts about how she's going to pay for.
We're on track, Corey, to get, you know, a $50,000 grant for a feasibility study for a farmer's market, which is on there. And usually those studies include admin cost, which would be her cost. Greg, if I'm wrong there, Spencer, is that enough?
That's correct.
Correct. So moving forward, we could be reimbursed for what we spent from that grant. That's because I feel the same way you did. Now I've looked at what she'd already acquired for us, and
we need to find one way or another to get it. I just want
so we have to apply for that grant, but will be walked through, you know, how to apply for it. We've already got approval from the head guy, so it looks like, I don't know, Sean, if you guys were there, that sounded like it's a done deal. So that's...
We just have to do the paperwork. Spencer?
We have a few options for funding. You're right, with, when we just recently passed the budget, then the general fund, we're ending up, plan on ending this year with an extra over the $400,000 fund balance, we plan on ending this year about $750 over that. So we're just right down the, our reserves there. Our beginning fund balance this year is about $30,000 more than what we had anticipated, which is great. So there's that money there that we can earmark for this contract. So that's one option. And then there's the option that Wade mentioned, that it's likely that some of these costs are going to be reduced through the grant. I would suggest let's earmark specific dollars, and as we recoup money, put it back in. And that's kind of a safety way to do it. But then the other option, we do have a park and rec fund and property reserve funds that which are two different pots of money that have been set aside for park property purchase and park development and farmers market, you know, those kinds of things. So we do have that money available, and that's what Corey was referring to, or Councilman Weber was referring to. And so those are the options.
Thank you. Corey, do you have any other questions?
Do you want to make a determination on that before we... I kind of like to know where it's going to come from, you know, and not count that, not doubting that we won't have the money coming, but, you know, knowing where it's going to come from and not just...
So knowing those options, which option do you want right. to suggest?
Well, which one would be the best? Probably the parks one, if that's what she's mainly working on.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And we can do that. Those funds are pots of money that increase when we budget to increase them. I just want to remember that piece too.
Okay. I just kind of wish we would have had her do, I know Varela does stuff for infrastructure, and it sounds like she's got a lot of contacts where she could probably get us more money than they could, or she would know where to get it.
She does know where to get it.
So maybe if one does drop off, she could work on something like that or something.
Well, now, as things go on, we can add to her list.
That's what I was going to say.
You know,
if you want more of her time, we certainly could get that. We had a conversation. Wade, did you want to bring that up?
Well, I met you, but we had a phone conversation this morning with her and the other gals on the lobbying team there, and Sean brought that up about Lee Road, some other stuff. You know, my impression, I didn't talk to you about this, but my impression is, and she has the contacts, and so what we'd like to do, and Sean and I talked about this, was have Varela, and Varela was on the phone also, and Sean brought that up, but have Varela and, you know, they've got a grant writer, Anna, and have Anna coordinate with Meg, which is what we're going to lead them towards. And that way, with Meg's contacts, then my sense would be that Anna could write the grants and help use those contacts to do that. So, you know, this is still in the...
Well, there has to be a certain amount of engineering prepared in the grant
exactly.
Request.
Right.
So Varela could do that behind the scenes, hand it off to Meg or to exactly. the two girls, and with their contacts, get it in front of the right people over there in Olympia.
So I think we can use this as a stepping stone for other things. Right now, it's, you know, focus on parks a little bit. We can just happen. That's our goal anyway. That's what
yeah.
I think. That's what Sean and I think we do. So we'll
yeah.
see as it goes along.
Okay. And you reviewed the contract, Kelly?
I have. Yep. That's good. That's
good.
My approval.
Okay. All right, then I entertain a motion to approve this contract with Meg Ventura of Gordon Thomas Honeywell for project development and grant writing services.
I'll make that motion.
Second.
Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. We'll move to item 4.4, dispatch console disposal, or proposal, excuse me, with Adams County Chief.
Okay, this is a more complicated one. So, as you remember, when we discussed the budget, we had said it initially earmarked or asked for $100,000 to be put away towards a dispatch console upgrade, knowing that the current consoles, and the consoles are basically the computers and control systems that control the radio base stations that are up in the attic. They've reached end of life. They're actually significantly past end of life, and but due to budget issues, we pushed that off because we couldn't afford to fund much of the other stuff with that big of a chunk out of the general fund. So, discussing this with Jay, the county has put together a proposal that is actually a very good proposal, and I'd like to explain what that looks like. Our portion, or the project that we're looking at to replace the consoles at the county level and our level, there's basically five stations, that's about a $630,000 project. Now, Motorola with Day Wireless are willing to fund, or basically fund that over a five-year period. And some of the stuff that actually makes me pretty supportive of this is we'll be able to replace the current maintenance that we're paying on our existing consoles and radios and put them towards this, which is the tune of about $10,000 a year. There is some hardware that's actually not in that, but right now they're merged. The other piece is this gets us out of the problem where I would have to come, or the next chief would have to come to council and say, our consoles have reached end of life, we need $500,000, can you come up with it? Because built into this is a replacement plan that includes after the five-year mark, we would continue paying about $30,000 a year, and that would include the maintenance and a fee towards replacement. So during the life of the project, if a piece of hardware goes down, they'll replace it. If at some point towards the end we say, hey, it's time to upgrade, they will upgrade, and that's built into the price, as well as the maintenance that we would normally expect. Now, I'm aware that we don't have the money in the budget this year to do this. If you look at the third page of what I've provided, or second page, first year cost is $74,000, second year $88,000, third year $89,000, fourth year $90,000, fifth year $90,000, and then we start moving on to the maintenance cost of $31,000 a year. Now the county, the offer that the county brought is that they would carry us through the first year. So we wouldn't start payments until next year. That allows them to get moving with the project. We actually could combine both systems at the same time, because that's the point of this, is that they're integrated systems and interoperable. That basically with this, if we needed, we had an emergency in our dispatch center, we could flip a switch, send all of our radios to Moses Lake, to Ritzville, I'm sorry. If Ritzville had a problem at their side, flip the switch, we're now dispatching all of their units. This would also take care of our fire dispatching and our ambulance dispatching. So what this does is it gets us into the radio console replacement 8 months, 6 months early, and the project can actually get started. The county's ready to move with it. We're the holdup. So if the council were to choose, we would put together a agreement with Adams County that would obligate us to this rate, the 74, 88, 89, 90, 90, for the next 5 years and into the 6 year.
So this updates not only the Othello consoles, but also updates the sheriff's office consoles and the
courthouse?
The point is to replace all of them at the same time so that they're completely compatible and interoperable.
This costs a lot of money to fight crime, doesn't it?
So you said that it will replace your, you had a red zone item for additional radios or replacement of radios?
That was...
Will this negate that?
The $100,000 red zone item that I asked for was basically to get this started because we knew about what it would cost. Additionally, we've got portable radios that we need to get on a replacement cycle. We're trying to replace 5 of those a year for the next few years. We're going to continue looking for that. And what we also have is the actual base station itself, the radio box that's sitting upstairs, that's going to need to be replaced next year to the tune of about $16,000 for that. So, that'll also give us the first year we won't have maintenance costs because the maintenance comes with the warranty for the first year. So these costs are going to have to happen. You know, if we wait until the county, you know, pulls the trigger on this and starts their installation, then we're going to be trying to connect to that later, which is going to add cost. It's not going to be the same amount that we're looking at now. We're saving money because we're moving it all together. Now, the other piece of that is we're saving, the savings in this is about $70,000 for the amount of the project because we're using HGAC, which is that, if you remember, I think it was 2 years ago, we brought to council a Texas bidding contract with Texas government. Allows us to be part of that buying consortium. The county will be contracting with that company so that they can get it at that rate, and it's basically like a GSA government style rate.
Can I make a couple comments?
Sure.
Sure, Jay.
To emphasize what Chief James said.
I want to make sure you do understand, though, those costs are not set in stone at this point because we do not have a contract with Motorola. So there could be some variance. Now, I'm not talking variance of thousands of dollars, but if Chief Shank says that your responsibility is $74,296 for 19, that could be 75, that could be 73. So there is some variance in there because until such a time that we actually have the agreement between the city and the county, we can't pull the trigger with Motorola to go ahead and draw up the contract and put all the numbers together. We're carrying this on a 5-year contract that Motorola does this now so that agencies like ours can go and do these projects without killing us right off the bat. And then the other one that's up for negotiation, Chief Shank talked about the SAUII and the maintenance agreements. Until those are actually in the contract, those could vary a smidge as well. Because we have not negotiated how long we want that SAUII to go out, whether it's 6 years or 8 years. He and I have had the conversation, and we'd like to see about a 6, no longer than an 8, but we want to see what Motorola actually offers and how those numbers change. But today we're just asking for consensus so we can draw up a mutual agreement between the two entities and move forward with this. Because we can't pull the trigger until we actually have decided that, I shouldn't say that, we're ready to pull the trigger. If you guys decide not to, we're going to go ahead and do it anyway because our stuff is starting to fail and we need to get that upgraded as quick as possible. The bad thing about it is that we are currently connected, and if we don't do this together, that connectivity completely severs until such a time as we can put that back together. And what I've been told is that's not necessarily an easy thing. So this is our best bet, our best chance to keep these two entities connected. So this moves us into the future. It's all, what do I want to say, digital. So everything's a lot better than it was. We're currently still using some analog stuff, and this just puts us in place to go along with it. Unless you have any other questions, that's kind of my little spiel.
What Kate didn't mention is that a while back, Adams County Dispatch did go down, and it took quite a bit of work to get it up and running. Dave Rem talked to Motorola just recently. They said they dealt with another city with the same hardware that we have right now. Theirs went down, took 30 days to get it up again. I can't imagine what that would do to us, not having a dispatch center for 30 days, especially if Adams County goes ahead and we're not connected to them, because then I can't flip the switch and send it there. We're dispatching at that point with cell phones out of a police car.
Our incidents happened over the Thanksgiving weekend, so it was difficult to get a tech, and our main station went down, and it wasn't so easy as just to take the number Stu's station and plug it into the main station. That just didn't work, and so it was quite the headache for quite a while. So this is supposed to remedy that stuff.
The cost breakdown between Adams County and Othello, I did provide that for you. It's 56% of that is Adams County with 44% roughly our side. That is very, majority of the server side of this would be in Adams County. So they would have three stations, we would have two stations. So the fact that there is a cost difference between the two makes perfect sense.
And that split was not, that formula for the split was not done by Adams County, it was done by the contractor themselves, because they looked at the overall project and took a look at what the, not so much what the services of putting that equipment in, because that was kind of a, that's really squishy, but looking at the, what equipment Othello gets, what equipment Adams County gets, and that comes out to about that 56-44 split. So that's how that came. That wasn't done by the county, it was done by an independent. So okay. Took a look at the project.
So no money out of pocket this year?
No money out of pocket this year.
It starts next year, and that comes out of the law enforcement budget?
It would have to be general fund.
Law enforcement, it's all general fund.
That's general fund, but you have a budget for law enforcement that we, so.
But I do not have $100,000 extra in my budget.
No, I know that, but where we look at allocating funds from the general fund to the different budgets, which would be the law enforcement budget, you understand then that you're going to carry this for the next 5 years.
This would go within our dispatch portion of our general fund budget.
Yeah.
And yes,
it's just gonna make things tighter for the request that you.
It makes things tighter for all of us.
Yep. I'm all for it getting it done and getting it done right now with in conjunction with them, being that we don't have to do anything this year, and appreciate that very much that you work it that way. But it's just moving forward in the future for the budget, for the amount of allocation to the funds, to the budget that you have, law enforcement, this is going to be a big chunk of change. Hopefully, we have 30 more homes online, and we got some more tax revenue coming in.
I got a question for Kelly. Is this something that has to go out to bid, or how does that work on something like this, sir?
Well, it's equipment. Usually it would, but we do have a contract.
It's being bought. It would be purchased on the HVAC consortium. Yeah. It is a competitively bid process. We would have to review this specific bid that they proposed to make sure that it complies with Washington State bid requirements. And if it was bid correctly through HGAC, then it is completely legal within Washington.
And that'd be in accordance with the agreement we entered into several, was it a year ago or 2 years ago?
Yeah.
So we've set up a process for that.
Okay, cool.
This, just want to make sure. This does not fall on the city, this falls on the county. We're the one managing the project. We're just agreeing to put equipment because the project takes part in your facilities. Because the contract will not be between Othello, Adams County, and Motorola. The first contract is between Motorola and the county. The second contract is between the county and the city.
Okay, so you're buying the equipment, we're just buying it from you now.
Correct. We're doing the project, because I asked that originally when the
when the proposal was put before us, is how did, you know, how does that work, splitting it out and coming up with a contract? He says, no, we don't do that. We either contract with him or me. But because we have the main portion of the server sitting in Adams County, we're picking up the majority of the responsibility on it, and then hooking the two systems together. And we do, we have to follow the same, pretty much the same bid laws that the city has to follow.
So at this point in time, this is informational, and you will come back to us once you've got the you're looking for our approval tonight?
If you provide us consensus tonight,
yep,
that they would like us to move forward with putting together a contract with Adams County, then the next thing we would bring in front of council would be that contract.
And that contract could be, the numbers, like Jay said, could be different than what the numbers are right there.
I don't know that. I've asked several different times to get higher numbers, and until we actually pull the trigger, I'm working with Motorola.
I'm just hoping that they're...
And I keep telling them, I says, and I'm working with council members and commissioners. They like to know the numbers, so we need to get it as tight as possible. So possibly, I can't guarantee that. What I can say is we always have those little things in there that says time is of the essence. So we're trying to push this a little bit quicker, but we want to make sure that you guys are okay with it, come back with the contract to explain what the terms on it are, and then go from there. And then we can always, I'm sure that if you are not agreeable to that, when we actually get the numbers, that's...
One thing I'm noticing under the cost allocation is the city is going to pay $273,000. And the county's going to pay $352,000. These numbers add up to about 400, just through the five, that's over $420,000.
The original five-year payment plan, we agreed to do a $100,000 down. Mm-hmm. So that's why you took off that.
The other part is there's actually that support, SUAA, which is the replacement part. That's put on top of that, and then there's actually maintenance after the first year. So that's where, if you see how the first page is broken down, then you see.
So these higher numbers then include a maintenance cost.
They include.
That's why they're 90 instead of 60, which would have added up to your other numbers.
Yes. This is the total prices that will add up to.
Okay.
The purchase plus then the support.
Well, I just wanted to make sure.
And 19 does not show a full year of SPI or maintenance because the shooting for a July-ish completion date, mm-hmm. we have a full year of warranty. So the SUAII and the maintenance agreement would not start until the end of that warranty. And so that payment, those payments are put off until such a time as that engages.
So, what's the estimated lifespan of a system like this?
Depends on the equipment. Like the chief has said, they put a lifetime on a piece of equipment. So it could be anywhere from 2 years to 5 years to 6 years, whatever that may be. And this program is supposed to and allow you to come in, and when you want to do consoles, which 2 years if we're lucky, or 3 years if we're lucky, too, you pull that computer box out and you put a new one in.
At far less the cost.
And that's
so. This is the cost.
This is the cost.
Oh, okay.
It includes all the replacements we're going to need within that period, and that's why we'll be paying that extra.
The digital card upstairs or wherever it might be that goes bad on us over the weekend.
Okay.
Or
all right.
It's only supposed to last 3 years. You replace it before it gets to the end of its life. That's the concept behind the SUAII, is you're preloading, front loading, as opposed to trying to come up with the money, as the chief said, when you need it because it died on you.
Good. Preventative maintenance.
It basically rolls us around to that central services kind of idea that we've talked about for the large purchases. If we're putting a little away so that we don't ever have to pay for the whole thing in 1 year, this takes care of that. Just like the TASER plan that we're on, our TASERs are replaced if they're in the life, we don't pay extra.
Now, this being updated and new, will it give you any more capabilities than what you have?
This is going to have more capabilities than we're ready to implement.
Oh, good. So in the future, you could add on to it.
Yeah, this is wide open for the ability to do whatever dispatching is allows you to do. That's, it's going to open that door.
Just one more question, and it's not, Dave, when was the last time we ever updated anything with the city system?
I had the binder in my office updated 2007.
So it's been 10 years.
And also, automatically what this would do is it would enable us to use the man-down system on our new portable radios. So if a horizontal alarm goes, this GPS would pick it up.
Okay. I have two questions. First of all, this is, when we've got to be going to eBay to find parts for our stuff, that's enough.
But we don't actually, Motorola does, well, our contract with them.
They're eventually, those parts are not going to be on eBay.
Yeah, we have to go to the Lebanese Army sometimes to get ready for parts now.
So with this changing over to a digital system, are we going to have to change all of our radios over?
No, they're all compatible.
Okay.
We've been making sure as with new radios, that they are digital and are digital capable, so we can roll this from the future.
And this is really all just doing two core is it's digitizing the console to your tower. Still not changing necessarily how the tower talks to the officer. It's just changing how the dispatcher talks to the tower, or how the ability to send it to Ritzville so that we can talk to you should you go down, and vice versa.
Okay.
The county moves digital with their communication card base is digital. We're analog still, and I'm not sure when we're going to make that switch.
So my second question
is,
what's our system worth? Are we going to be able to get anything for it?
On eBay? I'm not sure.
Motorola or somebody? Because if we've got to buy parts, there's other places around that's going to have parts.
I can look into that.
Because that can take a chunk out of, you know.
It's definitely not going in the bin out back. I'll look into that.
So if you're looking for a consensus, I'm game.
Yeah. Very good.
Okay.
We'll go. We would come back with before March or at March for you to review that.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Let's now move to item 4.5, probation officer proposal with Adams County.
This is another difficult one, but it's not as difficult. Actually, it might be. So when we discussed the budget last year and we brought the proposals, we had items that we prioritized, and one of them that we had to remove fairly early in the budget process was the probation officer that we had discussed with Adams County, the judge, the prosecutor, the county commissioners, in the discussion that we have over sharing criminal justice costs within Adams County. We didn't make a lot of progress on most of our discussions and negotiations. The one thing that we did tentatively agree on was a probation officer. Now, what the probation officer would do would work for the judge, the district court judge here in Othello, supervised and answering to the judge. When a person is sentenced to a misdemeanor crime, generally the judge finds out that they didn't follow the conditions because we've arrested them on a warrant, or they just get around to reoffending. The idea of having a probation officer is to make sure that they're following their release conditions. So for example, if you get a domestic violence arrest where they've assaulted their wife or husband, and the judge orders that they go to anger management classes, then the judge isn't going to know if they actually did that or not without a probation officer. If someone gets a DUI and they're given, they need to go take AA classes and that kind of stuff, unless they come back in front of the judge isn't going to know whether that's been done or not. So what most counties do is they have a probation officer that
That individual would have to schedule a monthly visit with and pay a fee, $25, $50, I mean, I think it's usually a sliding scale, for that visit. And that helps pay for their visit, but it also helps reduce, the end game is we're trying to reduce repeat offenders, recidivism. The cost that we kind of put together as an estimate was, first year, probably about $100,000. That includes everything from setup to, you know, car, getting that person going, because that person will be driving around our town and mostly working in the Othello area. Now, the agreement was we would pay 50%, and that's what we would bring to councils. We would pay up to $50,000 of that $100,000. Now, I say up to because, for example, this year, the person has hired yet, so there's no way it's going to cost the full amount. Additionally, as those individuals are paying for their visit, there's an amount of money. We don't know what that's going to look like yet. So that fee would go against what that probation officer's cost is too. So the net cost to Othello would be 50% of actual costs, less those fees. Now, Adams County would really like to move forward with this. The current judge would really like to move forward with this. We pulled it off of our budget and our recommendation to council because we did not have the $50,000 to put into it. The county has asked us to reconsider and asked if we would consider $25,000 towards first year so we can get the project started this year, understanding that it would be up to about $50,000. It's not going to be $50,000. I mean, I truly don't believe it's going to be that much money. This isn't that expensive of an employee, and I don't believe there's going to be that much vehicle costs. But the proposal that the county asked me to bring in front of you is $25,000 this year to get the project running, with the agreement that we would be paying 50% of net cost as long as that employee exists. Obviously, with that kind of agreement, we can create some kind of termination clause. I mean, if we have budget issues, we could pull out of it. But this would help us bring down the crime rate, I believe, even more within Othello. And I also provided to you some charts that show what the infractions have looked like, what the misdemeanors have looked like, and then what the revenues have looked like in comparison over the last 10 years. So one of the things that I'm working towards, that as we have communication and negotiations with Adams County about what our share of the justice cost is, it's going to come down to what percentage of the calls are Othello City's calls. How many arrests or charges are we putting through the court system here to use the judge's time, the defense attorney's time, and you name it. The closer we can get it down to 50-50 or even less than 50%, the less that I think we would negotiate Othello pays. Currently, if we were to look at that system and negotiate it, it's going to be and what the county had asked for as an increase was a lot, so we didn't agree to it. My hope is that we can bring this number down more. A probation officer might be the ticket to do that. So if the council was in agreement or consensus on this, then I would have the county put together a agreement for us to pay the $25,000 and then $50,000 of actual or net actual costs as this position is funded. Any questions?
I know 5 or 6 years ago, we were the only or one of the only counties in the state that did not have a probation officer. Is that still true nowadays?
I think that's it's probably a very true statement still.
So, since I've been involved in these discussions with the county, the last meeting we had with the Board of Adams County Commissioners, this was chosen to be parceled off and negotiated separately. They still had a substantial increase they were looking at for the district court operating costs. And So I guess I'm a little curious as to what is their plans with regard to that contract if we approve this contract?
The last conversation, the last meeting that we had with them, they did ask that we at least agree to this because we couldn't agree on the other items that we were discussing.
Mm-hmm.
We asked then that we actually put it on hold, take a look at it for a year, and see what those numbers actually, as the numbers played out, as the, because we don't really know what the new, I mean, there's a new judge with new costs there. I'm not sure that we renegotiated the defense attorney contract yet. But then the idea was also this, and we wanted to see what that impact would do.
Mm-hmm. So you don't know?
We don't know. At some point, I believe we're going to have to look at, you know, if the county wants us to pay a substantial portion of the justice costs here, and if Othello's revenues, if we continue to bring down, you know, the enforcement that's costing or bringing money into the county, then we're going to have to bring up what we pay towards the judge or the court system. My goal is to make that as little as possible. If at some point, I realize we have an audience, but a very candid conversation, if at some point it's cheaper for us to have our own court system with our own judge and defense attorney and prosecutor, then we're going to have to look at that. I don't believe we're there yet.
I know. I was on the Law and Justice, Adams County Law and Justice Council. So 5-6 years ago, I went over to Kittitas, and we talked with them over there, and their probation officer was actually paying for themselves with the money that they were bringing in that, you know, each person had to pay towards. And I'm not saying that.
I don't smoke that new stuff that was legalized a few years ago. So I'm not going to tell you that I think this is going to pay for itself.
Yeah, I'm not saying that either. I'm just saying that they did, or they say they did.
But anyway, there's a potential to offset the costs by what can be brought in from having a probation officer.
It's going to take a year or two to figure out what that really looks like.
All right. So I think we need to have Spencer look at where the funding is going to come from again, and put together a presentation for us to vote on with regard to where we're going to get the funding.
Yeah, I'd like to meet with the finance committee maybe later this week or next.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea. That's exactly my thought. Is this okay? We're already committing dollars here into the future, and now here's another one. And I guess,
a question I've got is, when we voted to accept the budget, and the budget had red zone items in it, were those red zone items committed?
When you as the council commit, they're as committed as you as the council wants to be. A budget is very fluid living document. We can revisit that and change, take things out, add things in.
Because I agree with Corey, the budget's very tight. We struggled to get what we wanted. So without moving funds around, you know, that have, like red zone items that have been committed, and taking them back and saying, okay, we're going to reallocate those funds. I don't know how, you know, unless we're making more money somehow, how we're going to fund some of these things. What's that?
You did it.
Yeah. So, right. So I think that we'll move on from this discussion and move that into with Spencer and the Finance Committee.
Can I ask a question real quick?
Yes.
The probation officer, is he going to be a county-wide probation officer, or is it Othello area?
It would be a county hire, but my understanding that the position would be supervised by the Othello District Court judge, and that the Ritzville District Court judge is not interested. So I think it would be our area exclusively. I'm not saying that the person wouldn't be tasked every once in a while to head up there, because we do show bad guys.
But, right. But if we're paying half the cost, yeah, it should be.
We're currently putting, I think, and I forget what the actual percentage of misdemeanors going into our course, but we put more misdemeanor charges into the Othello District Court than Adams County does. So that's one of the reasons that Adams County is wanting some kind of cost increase from us.
I think that anything in Ritzville Courthouse is probably just traffic tickets off of I-90.
It is.
And down here, you actually have cases where you have property damage and you have, you know, things that need to be. Okay.
All right. Let's move on. Thank you, Chief.
Thank you.
We're going to move to item 4.6, Adams County Pet Rescue Contract.
This is an easy one. Put that right up front. First of the year, we started working with Adams County Pet Rescue to actually take over the dog licensing, the animal control, to start working towards hiring a dog catcher. This contract puts all of that, makes it all official and makes it happen. We've been working with them a little bit, but we haven't fully implemented it. Once this is approved, then we'll be able to fully implement it. So the agreement in front of you has been in front of Kelly. It's been approved. I think it includes everything we've discussed.
Council, I'd entertain a motion.
I'll make that motion.
Second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. So now we're going to go to item 4.7, code enforcement.
And this will be the easiest one tonight, I think. So this, what this does is it creates an MOA, Memorandum of Agreement, to modify the collective bargaining agreement with the Teamsters, which is the union that Heather Miller, our animal control code enforcement officer, works within. In order to make her full-time code enforcement, we're materially changing her job, so we have to negotiate what that impact would be. We did a salary study. We determined what that should be, which it includes about a $4,300 raise over the course of a year to be 100% code enforcement. The Teamsters have looked at this and approved it from what they're seeing, and I would ask that council do the same.
Council?
I'd make that motion.
Thank you.
Second.
Thank you. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Thank you, Chief. Now we'll move to item 4.8, ordinance amending the OMC Chapter 2.04 titled Council Meetings. Becky?
Mayor and Council, as you remember last week, you guys had a discussion of changing our first meeting from a workshop meeting to a regular meeting due to the increase of items we have and stuff. So this is just an ordinance that I made and we had Kelly review to strike out of Chapter 2.04 titled Council Meetings, Workshop Meetings, and added first to the first, second. So that way all our regular meetings are first, second, and fourth of the month.
I did have a question on this. What are we going to do as far as having counsel, legal counsel? Are they going to come that first Monday also? Because it's nice to have to say.
Right. The way we work that, Eugene, is the way we work it pretty much now. You know, as Kelly doesn't attend every meeting, we usually have a conference if he looks at the agenda and says, you really need me to come, because when he comes, it costs the city money. So it would be the same with this one. We would look at it, and our goal would be to make that first council meeting still more of a workshop, but with the ability to still bring items for vote that are time sensitive. Instead of now, we have to wait, you know, another week or sometimes 2 weeks, depending on what's going on. So if we do that and he needs to be, you know, here, we will. Otherwise, what my plan would be then to have him available via phone, and we've got his cell phone number. So if it looks like we need to have him, so that, and that's, we checked MRC before, and that's perfectly okay to have that.
Okay.
You guys like this idea? We discuss it? All right, I entertain a motion to adopt this ordinance amendment.
Make that motion.
Second. And before I call for a vote, I just want to run it by Kelly. This ordinance on the council meetings, you reviewed that with Becky and...
Yes. Yep, no, it, yeah, the amendments to the ordinance achieve what you guys are trying to do.
Okay.
And the question, Kelly, was if you would be available if we had to vote. I said yes.
Yes.
If, I mean, that vote, that's something that was required your council.
It required legal... Yeah, my understanding, and I would take the direction of council, but my understanding is that, that under our contract, you'd probably still want me to come up just two times a month. However, if there was something on the agenda that Monday evening, on the, well, now the first Monday evening, I'd certainly make myself available to come on up. And I could come up three nights a week if that's what the council wanted. That's perfectly fine. So.
And I said you're available by phone, otherwise it would look like...
Always available by phone, but I can either always be available on any Monday evening or either Roger Reed or Jennifer Hansen. Between the three of us, we'll always have somebody here if you need us.
Yep. Yep. I think Jennifer came once last year. Yep. Okay. We have a motion made and seconded. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Thank you, Becky. Now we'll move to item 4.9, Sand Hill Estates final plat.
And I will recuse myself from item 4.9, Sand Hill Estates final plat.
Thank you. So let the record show that Angel Garza has recused himself with regard to this final plat presentation and council action. Anne?
Thank you. So this is a little bit of a strange one. This is really just a procedural item. The way the RCWs are written, City Council has to approve a final plat. So even though you've given the power to look at the preliminary plat to the hearing examiner and you're not involved in that, final plat does need to come before you. But really, the only, you can't add conditions. You're only making sure that the preliminary, or that the final plat conforms to the preliminary plat. And so I'll just say staff can take care of that part for you. I did list out for you the agencies that commented, so those would be conditions of your approval. And then staff will make sure it's all done before we have Wade sign it.
Council?
So what did we agree upon for the width of the street of Olympia? Is it in the, I mean, in the front drawing, I see 35 feet. Is it 7th is 40 to 40 feet? But what's the width of Olympia?
So I don't have the construction drawings with
me. Well, the plat drawings are here on...
Yep. I guess without the construction drawings, I can't tell you for sure that they match, but we can sure check on that.
Angel, do you know the answer to that question?
Yeah, I just
didn't want to speak to
that. Okay, all right. I recuse myself.
Right.
Yeah, but now you're speaking as a citizen.
I believe it was 42.
42 feet? Okay.
Yeah.
So are you going to just put in all the turns to a point and then stop them? So you're going to sidewalk and curb all the way around?
Yeah. We're going to go on the 9th, 11th, and 13th.
9th, 11th.
We're going to bend around 9th, 11th, and 13th. Yeah, all the way south toward the end of the property line, back of the property.
Okay.
So, yeah, we're going to be completely down sidewalk.
So are those three streets wider?
I think those are going to be...
66?
I think they're going to follow what I have on 12. I believe those are going to be 38.
Single lot size?
So...
I don't think they go any wider than that.
On here it says 66.
That's right.
That's the right of way.
Well, 66, that's short.
With the right of way?
Yeah, right of way.
Okay. So what the council has before it is a decision to adopt this final plat subject to the conditions addressing comments of the four agencies that were listed. So is there any other informational that the council needs tonight? With that, I'd entertain a motion to adopt this final plat application.
I'll make that motion.
Second.
Subject to the conditions. Thank you. And before I ask for a vote, Kelly, do you have any comment?
I have no comment.
You're fine with this?
I'm fine.
Good.
I'm good.
Yep. Thank you, Kelly. Just relying on you, Kelly. Thank you. Is that all right? Yeah. Okay. So, council, all those in favor of this final plat approvals, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Thank you. All right. Angel, you can rejoin the council. Now we'll move to item 5, unfinished business. Or any unfinished business tonight? Okay. Is there any new business tonight on item 6? Yes, Wade.
Just to remind the council that the chamber banquet is next Friday night. It's always nice to see council members there in support of our community. Tickets are $30 in advance, $35 at the door, and there is a reverse raffle, $25 a pop to win $1,000. A reminder that Angel Garza won that last year. Not much tickets, but he still won. I've got tickets, and I think Sean does too, but buy in advance and
cowboy theme, cowboy dress up.
Theme's cowboy up, and it's at the Bethel Church, and starts at 5, and dinner's at 6, and there'll be a live auction as well as the reverse raffle. It's going to be a lot of fun. We're honoring several folks, obviously. If you guys don't know, the mayor has been named the Citizen of the Year. And for all his numerous contributions over the course of his lifetime, and it's never been really honored for that. So, and Roger Teamy will be given a special award, and of course the usual teachers and
civil servant.
I'm sorry.
Civil servant and business.
Civil servant, yep, and various and sundry other things. So it's a lot of fun. We moved along last year. We got everything done in a timely manner, and right there before 9 o'clock, which is always good. Plan to do the same thing this year if possible. So. I look forward to seeing as many of their spots as you can.
You can buy tickets where? Wait. Perfect.
Okay. Any other new business? Having no further business, I'll adjourn tonight's meeting at 7:51 p.m.
Did I have a good one?